This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan right now. It's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate that. And I always appreciate the conversation. So go ahead and text in 877-881-1053. Do you remember this day? The anniversary. This is what I'm going to call it. The anniversary is for the KNC Masterpiece. I believe tomorrow will be the day that Yu Darvish posted and signed and inked it all with the Rangers. We were learning that they would spend about $100 million. So I went back and I was like, I remember that was the Tuesday of when we filled in. Now, Kevin and I, when we started here in 2011, that was the weekend that the Mavericks swept the Lakers in the Mother's Day Massacre, as they call it. And then, so we had been here for just a short period of time. And then our boss said at the Christmas time, he goes, hey, do you guys want to fill in for afternoon drive? And we were like, we work on Sunday morning and that's pretty much it. And we also both have other jobs.
Yeah.
At the time, I think I was working at Channel 33 and maybe Channel 8 a little bit too. I was also working as like a fill in for ESPN when it came to like football games. I was doing all the jobs I could, but I said, sure, we'll clear the schedule and we're going to do however many days you need for us to fill in for Rage. And Tim, our boss, said, we need you for 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, wow, that. 2 weeks in prime time. Like that is the spot to be in. I have to do this. We went on air and I don't know why, but we could not get ourselves together. Like, it was chaos.
And I wasn't even here.
You weren't even here yet, Mike.
That's a good point.
We were flying through topics. You know, everything was just moving so fast for us. And by the end of the show, we walked out of there going, we're getting fired tomorrow. Like, they're probably not going to ask us to come back and do this for the next 2 weeks. And then we showed up and they said, yeah, no, we're keeping you around for this. Like, you still have to fulfill the job. Oof. And we were like, all right. But then that was the next day that Grego brought us in and sat us down and said, what the F was that yesterday? He's on vacation, mind you. He comes into the studio, special trip, just to tell us that we had effed everything up. And we were like, oh, crap. And he said, just
fair.
Be yourselves.
I thought you were talking about when they fired them and you guys were
That's a different time.
That's a different time,
Mike.
You guys filled in for them when they got fired, right?
Yeah, for
that
a month.
That is true.
Yeah, for a month. The at that time, you know, when he said that, I think he gave me a sense of confidence because I was still kind of uncertain. You read the fan text can tell you some very mean things. It can also encourage you a lot of times. And for me, the mean things, they fill my bucket up a lot faster than the nice things. And so I was like, oh, Grego, though, he was like, you guys are better than that. I've listened to your show. We calmed down. We filled out 2 great weeks of radio, and we were awesome. And I do remember my wife calling me at one point and saying, we're scheduling a C-section for the last Friday.
I remember that.
Of that. And I was like, this is great. I will deliver the baby early in the morning, and then, because we could schedule the time, go into work, do the show, come back, hang out with the baby. And Adrian was like, that's a great idea. And I was like, thanks. And then I told the bosses, and the bosses said, no, she's going to divorce you. It's a trick. And I was like, okay. So I decided, Adrian, I'm going to take that day off. She said, I'm glad you came to your senses. That being said, that was that first day where we really got our opportunity, the first time we really got our opportunity to tell the entire 105.3 The Fan listening audience who we were. And over that time, a lot of people went, you know what? I kind of like these guys. And by the time we were done, there were people that were like, we really enjoy y'all. We hope y'all stick around. That being said, in the next couple of weeks, there will be some hosts that are not around, and there will be some fill-in hosts and some weekend guys and this and that. Give them a chance, because what you might find is, hey, they're actually better than I thought. So, like, I'm just hoping that in that time, we got a collection of really talented people that work on the weekends and work at nights and work during the regular day, too. Give them a chance, because I think you're going to end up liking it.
Now, I just want to say a couple more things, because...
And somebody said, I don't like your show, but you're still here. And there you go.
Fair.
We've made... Somebody's liked it at some point along the way.
Now, what I remember about those 2 weeks and then that particular day, these are my favorite Grego stories that have ever happened that I've been involved in, is during the 2 weeks, that was when we had the discussion and we rolled out the Baby It's Cold Outside segment
too,
for the
yes.
first time. Now, I had written about it, but... Half the people were like, this is the worst garbage I've ever heard in my life. The other half were like, this is amazing. Now you guys are my guys. And so at least I feel like people noticed. But the two things that day with Grego, all of that is accurate. But also our first producer, Waddle, was in the side studio that day. We were on a different floor. And Grego goes, I'm sorry, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, I'm their producer. And he goes, oh, okay. Hey, could you leave, please?
Yeah.
And so Waddle was so mad about that. But then the other one was, I saw Grego's watch. And I go, oh, that's a sweet watch. And he goes, you like that? That's a Rolex. And I was like, that's nice. And he goes, I have 8 of these. And in my brain, I was like, just don't.
Don't say it.
But the overriding part of my brain's like, well, you have to. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be difficult. Why does somebody need 8 Rolexes? And he goes, because I like to piss my money away.
Yeah.
That's an actual thing that he said, which I
he
thought
said,
was,
you don't. Nobody does.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an amazing answer. And I loved it so much.
So again, over the next couple weeks during the holidays, keep it tuned in right here, because there are going to be some really talented people that you're going to really enjoy listening to. Because that's where we got our start. And like I said, Kevin, this station at that time, it wasn't as strong as it is right now.
Sure.
And what we built since that time, it was 2011.
One of the nicknames was, and I didn't think it was fair at the time, but the nickname was The Fail.
Yeah. And that has drastically changed since then. In our morning show, our midday show, our afternoon show, and our night shows and our weekends are very strong. Great sports content radio. So thank you very much for being with us that long. If you remember that from the 214, I remember when I first heard you guys, I couldn't stand you guys. Now you guys are the reason I listen to The Fan, and appreciate that.
We would always say, hey, give us a week.
Yeah.
And if you still hate us, I was like, that's probably not.
Yeah, after a week, if you're like, then I get it. All right. I did want to hop into a couple of Jerry Jones things from this morning. We kind of discussed this a little bit this morning. But listen to Jerry Jones talking about cut 7 here. Do you think Mike McCarthy and Mike Zimmer are tied together with their contracts expiring?
Well, in a way, I do. And especially after the last ball games. And but I think you're seeing the best of Mike Zimmer. And I shouldn't say that. You're beginning to see some of the best, but maybe the best is still ahead of us. He's been real impressive now, putting that defense together with the attrition that we've had, with availability with our players. So I give him that. Mike, I don't know how you cannot say that his team has shown that they'll handle adversity, and he can get you there with the injury situation impacting the availability of those players. I hate to keep repeating that, but it's so obvious. And yet have that team playing at the level it's playing. So, I give them both high grades this year.
Okay, can I just tell you the one thing I massively disagree with in that?
Yes, Fan Replay brought to you by Ciroc Vodka.
When he talks about the Cowboys have done great with adversity when the season was over, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But like, while all that adversity was still happening and you still mattered, the Cowboys went from 3-2 to 3-7. So like, while I appreciate that they beat the Giants and the Carolina Panthers, two of the worst teams in the NFL, and the Commanders, who will make the playoffs, it looks like they'll make the playoffs, when you had to face the adversity when everything was still on the line, you failed. And you failed spectacularly. So I'm not saying you don't consider both, but it kind of feels like we're leaving out the other part about how they got to this point.
And I think the reason for, and from the 972, no, Diddy and Ciroc are no longer together. So I just wanted to let you know that. When it comes to what Mike Zimmer's done and what Mike McCarthy have done, I think that conversation and the reason that question was presented is, if you're going to bring in a new staff, are you telling your new head coach that he has to keep a defensive coordinator?
That feels like a tough sell for like a really the cream unless of the crop.
Unless the head coach loves Mike Zimmer. Like yeah. If he's like, no, I that's my favorite guy.
But if then you're like, the best okay. of the best, aren't you going to be like, well, then no thanks.
Yeah. And cause I,
hey y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12 team playoff era. So join me along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a guy. I know a guy that I really think can handle this thing. The other part, though, is they started building the personnel of this defense for Mike Zimmer. And so when the question's asked if those two are tied together, if those two are together on this, it was, hey, will you fire both of them at the end of this season if you're moving on from that? And based on what I heard there, that was a definite no about Mike Zimmer.
Yeah.
On the front of Mike McCarthy, I think that sounded like a consideration of, I would rather have a different offensive coordinator, but I like the way that this guy gets these guys to play.
Can I tell you what I think part of the spin on that's going to be too? Mike Zimmer, he just needed time to help get his guys ready for his scheme. Do you want to do all that all over again? We'll have that same struggle next year. And you're like, well, I guess we have to.
Probably so. But if we're looking at a 5-year plan, then that's what I'm all about. The next few games can really tell you if Zimmer is what they're saying is right now. Because if everybody wants to say the record of the teams that they played, that's totally fair. And you know what? If you're the Joneses, you definitely need to sit back and assess those things before moving on to the night. Now, this question has come to mind from the 573. What if Zimmer is the guy? What if Zimmer is the next head coach? And they just wanted to see if he still had that. He was a decent head coach in Minnesota. Hmm. And can he? I don't know how he can get this defense to turn around enough to prove that. But the Joneses, when they like something, they like something.
I think Mike Zimmer is a tough as hell human being.
And Tougher than I could ever imagine being.
But I mean,
just ripped my eyeball out, he said.
It was the same thing that you saw with Mike McCarthy being phased out of Green Bay, is Mike Zimmer was phased out of Minnesota, and they have an objectively better coach in Minnesota right now.
I do, Kevin. Yes, they do. I do have a question about younger coordinators. Because not all of them, they'll pop onto the scene. Mike McDaniels. I like him because I think the press conferences are funny.
Okay.
His offense is insanely good. And then it's kind of gotten figured out lately, especially their injuries too. There are other coordinators that you can point to and be like, well, they were good for a minute and then it all fell apart for them. Right now, Ben Johnson doing what he's doing.
Yep.
He's the singular one that I can, but I still think Will he coach that way whenever he's a head coach? Whenever he decides to put on the head coach helmet or whatever, will he still be as aggressive as Dan Campbell's group is, or is he more conservative? And then you're like, hold on, this isn't the coach I thought we were getting, because he has the freedom with what they have in Detroit right now.
I think he will, because his play calls, even on first, second, third, like in the non-Dan Campbell downs, they are still pretty dynamic. And look,
that's the word right there.
And I go back to 2022.
His first, second, third down stuff is quality.
And when he first took over as offensive coordinator, you know the team was 0-8 when he became the offensive coordinator? And over the next eight games, he averaged 30 points a game. So it's not like they were like, man, this team is awesome already. Good for you. They're like, we suck at offense. And then he came in and was like, hey,
we're going to run the ball better.
Yes.
And they did. And then what does that do? It helps them pass the ball better.
Look, I'll go on record. And if he fails, I'll own this decision for sure. Ben Johnson is the guy that I want. Now, I've heard all the rumblings about how much money he wants versus how much money the Cowboys are actually willing to pay, but Ben Johnson is the guy I want, because I feel like he is on the cutting edge of football. I don't feel that way about Mike McCarthy whatsoever.
All right, that's the C Block, ladies and gentlemen.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the Tuesday tailgate. Did the right person win the Heisman, and are any other teams going to need to quit their bowl game? Let's do that next right here on The Fan.
Throws it up the sideline. Oh, intercepted. Hunter. He's got a block. Travis Hunter. Into Utah territory. What a play for Colorado.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for the Tuesday tailgate. And to help us out with that, we bring in, as always, Carter Freeman, who also got a vote in the great Christmas movie bracket, which will be coming at you on Thursday.
I thought you were going to say I got a Heisman vote.
Oh, like, that would be neat. Okay, fine. You get a Heisman vote. Who would you have voted for?
I would have voted for Ashton Jeanty.
Okay.
And I don't think I was the only person that felt that, because when we saw the results of the Heisman race on Saturday, it was a lot closer, I think, a lot of people expected.
Now, to your point, it was the closest margin of victory since 2009. However, cut number 12, I'm sure you know by now, this is how it played out.
It is my honor to announce that the 2024 Heisman Award goes to Travis Hunter.
So, look, you can pick out stats to make a lot of things kind of go your way. But this one I saw, and Ashton Jeanty said he should have walked away with the award, which that's fine. I appreciate your confidence in your own abilities. But you look back at Derrick Henry, 2,200 yards, Heisman. Ricky Williams, 2,100, Heisman. Ron Dane, 1,800. Reggie Bush, 1,700. Mark Ingram, a little bit less than 1,700. Heisman. Ashton Jeanty, almost 2,500, second place.
It's not often that you have two historic seasons like this year.
Yes.
And to a lot of, you know, big college football writers have been writing, like, I think in 15 of the last 20 years, Ashton Jeanty beats the field. Like, he's just that much better. But yeah, I mean, not only is Travis Hunter an amazing player, a totally deserving Heisman winner, I don't want to say he's not. He doing what he did on both sides of the ball is incredible. I think having him be in so many primetime games with Coach Prime as his coach,
okay,
I think that helps too. He's so marketable. He's so front-facing. He's on the cover of the NCAA college football game that just came back this year. Like, I think a lot of people voted for him deservingly, but like, his just marketability and him being everywhere, I think, benefited him more than a guy who plays for Boise State.
And that's why I wanted to throw out, I saw some people were like, oh, Travis Hunter was an average receiver. I was like, okay, well,
He led the Big 12 in several categories.
And didn't he win the Biletnikoff for best receiver? Was he a finalist for it?
I don't remember if he won, but he was absolutely a deserving finalist.
So yeah, he was an excellent receiver. If you think Ashton Jeanty is better, totally fine. I totally understand that. But I hate that instead of pushing Ashton Jeanty like you just were, people seem to be tearing down Travis Hunter instead. I can be like, well, you could just say that Ashton Jeanty you thought was better and had a better season and had better qualifications, but I mean, Hunter still had an amazing year.
He did, and he did win the Biletnikoff. Travis Hunter did win the Biletnikoff.
See, there you go.
I do want to get that correct. But yeah, it's just, it's like I said, you don't often have two absolutely historic, amazing seasons, and someone's got to come in second place. By the way, do you remember Mark Ingram won in 2009?
Oh.
Do you remember who he beat?
Yes, I do.
You have any idea, Mike?
Toby Gerhart.
By 28 points. Stanford running back. I don't think Stanford has ever had a Heisman winner. They have the most Heisman runner-ups in college football history. Because Toby Gerhart, Andrew Luck, Bryce Love, I believe they're running back from a couple years ago. Like they're always in second place.
John Elway.
Yeah, they never win.
I have no clue if he was second in it, but he didn't win it. Guy who was good at football.
So to go along with this, other stories that I thought were of interest, and we'll get to the college football playoff in just a second. Alan Bowman, who has been in college football for 7 years, has decided he's going to declare for the NFL draft. Carter, are you sad to see the journey of Alan Bowman come to an end at the college level? And what kind of looks will he get?
CFL?
Yeah.
UFL? Like, yeah. Not NFL. I don't... Could he have come back for an eighth year? Because that was my question. It's real funny with the COVID year and redshirting and all of that. But yeah, he's a three-time transfer. He's played for three different schools. And I didn't even think he was able to come back for an eighth year. I didn't think it was a decision. Now, it's the same thing with Cam Rising at Utah, where I believe because he was out most of this year, he could come back for one, I believe, final year next year, and that would be his eighth year. But yeah, I watching him play, and you know, credit to him, Oklahoma State last year, Big 12 runners up, like they had a very good year. This year, not so much, but like those are the kind of guys that should stay in college for a long time because their football career is probably going to be over once they're out. Bum.
What did you think about Mike Norvell giving back essentially $4.5 million? So, Mike, we've talked about how terrible Florida State was this year. So their head coach agreed to a one-year restructured contract in which he is delightfully, from the bottom of his heart, going to give $4.5 million to a new university initiative aimed at raising money for revenue sharing and facilities. Now, the reason why I say it like that is because
all the facilities at Florida State.
Yes.
So the natatorium.
I guess so.
And the softball field.
Well, if revenue sharing is included, I think so. But do you think that Florida State was like, here's the deal?
No.
We would like this amount of money back.
Yeah, 100%. And Florida State did this with their last head coach, Willie Taggart. They did this after his first year when they went like 3-9 and were like, yeah, we'll need you to take a little bit of a pay cut and help build a new football facility. He was like, sure. Then they fired him in the middle of his next season and he never got to, you know, see his players actually use that facility. But yeah, what a historic fall from undefeated in the regular season, ACC champs, missed out on the CFP to, you know, and he was rumored to be in the running for Alabama to be their next head coach whenever Saban retired this last offseason. So from all of that to, yeah, we need $4.5 million back, you know,
I guess
fork it up.
Not that I'm a Florida State fan or a Florida State hater. I guess the great thing is in today's world of college football, you can get 20 new starters.
Sure.
And they don't have to be 18-year-olds.
And Florida State's actually the poster child for that because the 2023 team that went, you know, had an amazing season, a lot of transfers, a lot of them had been there, you know, multiple years and had time to learn Mike Norvell's system, play together, eventually have a very, very good year. They kind of tried to do the same thing this year where they brought in, you know, 20 or so transfers, a lot of new starters. It didn't work. And in fact, it was just dreadful. So there you can see the peaks and the valleys of that kind of system.
Okay, one of the valleys right now then is Marshall. So as Marshall had to drop out of its bowl game because they're like, we got nothing.
And because too many kids
yes,
hit the portal?
Yes, so Marshall has 36 kids in the transfer portal, including 29 scholarship players, 17 players that were on the team's two deep setup, and all three of the quarterbacks they've used this year are in the transfer portal.
And that the situation with Marshall is a weird one. Going into the season, their head coach, Charles Huff, wanted a contract extension. He was in a lame duck year. The contract that Marshall offered him was not it just wasn't something he was going to accept. So they both said, all right, we'll just let the year play out. Charles Huff bet on himself. Marshall goes and wins the Sun Belt. So they have a great year, but they still don't see eye to eye on the contract. Less than 24 hours after he wins the Sun Belt with Marshall, he leaves for Southern Miss. So not only is it just transfer portal season, kids are going to leave anyway, the head coach they played for is gone. But I think Marshall should get some sort of punishment for this. I don't think you should accept a bid and then drop out. Because the timeline of this whole thing, Marshall knew their head coach was leaving. And they knew there was going to be a mass exodus of players. And they accepted the bowl bid anyway. And from what I read, they assured the Independence Bowl that they're going to be able to play in it. There's not going to be an issue. And then, whoopsie-doo, they drop out. So Louisiana Tech stepped in. It's in Shreveport, so that's not a bad drive from Ruston to get there. Like, that's good that Army is the team they would have played. They'll still be able to play in that game, have a chance to win their 12th game. But yeah, I think Marshall should face some sort of punishment for this.
By the way, some people are saying, excuse me, sir, Jim Plunkett in 1970 won the Heisman while playing at Stanford.
There we go. The old plunker.
This guy. The old plunker, yeah.
They'll let anyone on the radio.
Jake Plummer.
No.
It was Arizona State.
Jim Plunkett, I do believe, also
played the Rose Bowl his senior year.
That is true. He has two Super Bowl titles and is not in the NFL Hall of Fame. So...
So you're saying Eli Manning has a chance.
I mean, take that for whatever it's worth. Want to throw this out there real quick. Cut number 13, Army versus Navy. Do you think most people are of the opinion it's a cool scene, it's a cool tradition, but maybe the football being played is not for y'all?
Army thinking about a blitz off the corner. And Horvat lobs one wide open, touchdown.
In your face. That was one of 9 passes and 4 completions Blake Horvath, the Navy quarterback, had on the day. Now, my brother-in-law was in the Navy. Obviously, this is a humongous game at the Drummond Compound. They win 31-13.
The compound.
Okay, because...
Yeah, what are they doing there?
Well, no, the reason is...
Watching Army-Navy.
My brother-in-law and sister-in-law live there, and then, like, literally their neighbors are my mother and father-in-law. So I just call it the Drummond Compound.
The Drummond Takeover.
All right. But you've been to this game before, Mike.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the way you described it, it's incredibly cool. Then maybe the football is not for all modern football fans.
The thing is the pregame stuff is really cool to see. And, Army marching in, Navy marching in. I know, it changes from Philadelphia to Baltimore, but the game starts and I have no interest. I'm not rooting for Army or against them. I'm not rooting for Navy or against them.
Would it have made any difference if somehow both of these teams would have been undefeated?
Are good now.
They are.
They were not that good 10 years ago.
True.
It helps out a little bit, but I'm not that big of a college football fan. That being said, there's a good chance Saturday. I don't know. I physically can't do this. But there's a good chance that I am at the television from 12 p.m. noon till 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Because of SMU, Penn State, and then Clemson, Texas, and then Tennessee, Ohio State. Probably the Tennessee, Ohio State game. I will probably give up on football by then because I will be footballed out.
Okay.
But I'm really excited about Friday night and Saturday. I just physically can't do it. I struggle to sit and watch football for that long of a time. But I'm really excited about the college football thing. But Army, Navy, it doesn't do it for me. I hope I'm in the minority, but it just doesn't do it for me. I have to watch something that entertains me, and watching 73 handoffs doesn't do it.
Speaking of, and by the way, if you think he's exaggerating, I just looked. I think it was 102 plays in that game and 25 passes. So it's kind of around in that area. Now, the most entertaining bowl, they've really gone out of their way to try to make themselves an entertainment-based bowl game, is?
The Pop-Tarts Bowl.
The Pop-Tarts Bowl. How do we feel, gentlemen, that the Pop-Tarts Bowl trophy will also be a workable toaster? So, essentially, in the football that's in top, that kind of looks, a little like Lombardi Trophy-esque, has 2 toast slots in it, so you can also toast with your trophy.
I think it's amazing. I think to the points we were making earlier that these lower bowl games, there's not a lot of interest in it. So they've done a lot of these bowl games have done a good job of finding things to make them sillier, goofier, and also to get interest in it. But just on the flip side, like I read that Cam Ward, who's going to play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl with Miami, he's going to play in that game. And so a lot, and like Travis Hunter, we're talking about earlier, he's going to play in the Alamo Bowl with Colorado. So just because they're not in the playoff, a lot of these guys aren't going to end up opting out. Like, I think there's a lot more interest in these games, and that's maybe, hopefully, maybe this is just, you know, hopeful thinking, but like some of these better players that would just opt out, go to their draft process, they'll end up playing in these games. Or you can also watch them eat a live Pop-Tart once the game's over.
Right now, who would you take number one if you're taking a quarterback, Sanders or Ward?
Sanders. And I think the Raiders will have the number one pick, and I think that just seems to line up that he wants to go there, and they're bad enough that they'll have the pick, and that'll just work out.
You think he's better?
I do. I like Cam Ward a lot. I got to see him a couple times. Cam Ward's
cousin might be listening right now.
Yes, Cam Ward's cousin brought us cupcakes.
Oh, wow.
At Buffalo Wild Wings on Friday. Like, true story.
Okay. Then Cam Ward, number one.
No, I'm just kidding. The best. I mean, I think that they're both good quarterbacks. I lean towards Cam Ward, but I don't think one is established right now over the other. But to your point, maybe the flash of being a Raider maybe is the thing that pushes Sanders over the top.
I know Jay Glazer said he talked to a whole bunch of NFL head coaches and GMs, and the, I guess, maybe presumptive number three pick, Travis Hunter. It seemed like the majority of them went cornerback as opposed to wide receiver. Is that how you view his likelihood? Or do you think, I mean, I'm sure he's going to try both at some time.
I was going to say, I want to see him play both. Like, he's good at it now. Like, I give him a chance and just see which one he's better at, and then maybe, you know, put him down that way. But he did just win the Biletnikoff Best Receiver Award, and I just feel like, you know, in the long run, he himself would get more value out of being a receiver than a defensive back. But gosh, I would say receiver is where I would put him, but I would have to put him maybe on third downs, you know, every other drive or something like that. Like, you know, get him in there at defensive back, like have him play not 100 plus snaps like he's playing now, but like still while he's young, let him play as much as he possibly can.
And I promise, Mike, we'll dive more into the college football playoff on Thursday, because I really want to pick everybody's brain about that. Because
I mean, and tonight, don't forget, you can go to Frisco and watch West Virginia play Memphis.
The Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl.
Ooh, in Frisco.
I went to that game last year.
Starts UTSA at 8 p.m., so it should be over by midnight.
There you go. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Johnston, shot block back to him. Ben touched in front, scored! Rope hints! Ben, the setup man again after drawing the call.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where the Dallas Stars are triumphing over arguably the best team in the NHL, 3-1 last night as they continue their domination in the barn. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Doing terrific, Higgy. How are you guys?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. Now, it's just me and the G-Bag Nation right now because of a variety of circumstances.
They've quit on you.
No, I don't.
They rage quit, didn't they?
I mean,
actually, you would be the one rage quit.
That is exactly right.
Mike McCarthy would like a word with you. They haven't quit on him.
That's why I walk around in the hallway.
Rage has been a word that's been said a lot today. You go catch your breath.
Yeah, if you ever see me walk in the hallway, it's probably because I'm getting too mad and I know I'm going to do something irresponsible. I want to talk about the Stars in a second, but Broadus, I know you're not a big movie connoisseur.
What my text said to you when you asked for me my list?
What are movies? And
more of a film guy.
I thought that Broadus could help maybe get some of the, like, It's a Wonderful Life.
That would be my favorite one.
Okay.
Yeah, then that's really kind of where I'm at.
Because right now, it's not going to make the bracket unless you post your vote for It's a Wonderful Life.
It should make it?
Absolutely not. That is one of the most overrated Christmas movies of all time.
But he's going to throw a Billy Bob Thornton movie in there.
I don't know if Bad Santa's going to make it.
He's going to tell you
not a bad movie.
He's going to tell you how great Bad
Christmas
Santa
is. Not in the film until like the last 5 minutes.
There's
nothing about Christmas. And then it ends, final scene, ooh, it's Christmas, and now it's a Christmas movie.
It's a Wonderful Life. That's what it is, man.
But when Santa's in the name, it becomes a Christmas movie.
Is Santa in the name of It's a Wonderful Life?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were...
No, I knew. I'm sorry, Eric. I could have helped you out. I knew 100% you did not know what movie we were talking about in that exact moment.
Thank you.
And I did nothing to help.
It's all right. It's all right.
I'm sorry.
I couldn't
that.
Do anything
we,
with
we,
that.
He's we used crossed to it. I'm sorry. All,
all right, Broadus, would you like me to cast your official first place vote for It's a Wonderful Life?
Hell Will no. that get it into the top five?
It's got a shot. It's going to be a 16-team bracket.
If I can have one vote, I'll take It's a Wonderful Life,
okay.
please.
Right now, It's a Wonderful Life. It's not going to make it.
34th Street.
Without
that would be number two.
That vote, okay.
That's deserving. A Christmas movie.
That is a fantastic movie.
I like these older Christmas movies. I haven't seen them, all these, the ones you guys are talking about, so I felt it was unfair to vote about something
I
didn't see.
I get you. We can put you down for...
I've seen It's a Wonderful Life a bunch.
Oh, I bet.
Mm-hmm. Casablanca, too.
Man.
It's a hell of a film.
So mm-hmm. salty this morning.
Also not a Christmas movie.
But this afternoon. All right. So we're probably going to roll that out. So what I'm doing is I'm taking top five votes from every person up here at the station. I'm using kind of Heisman-style voting where it's a point system. We'll determine the top 16 bracket style Thursday at 12:20. I know that's when you guys are talking and show prepping and everything, but you're welcome to join the voting panel.
You got us confused that morning show.
I get it. I do. That is fair. But in terms of the stars, because, you know, if you look at, for whatever it's worth, power rankings, people started to slide the stars down in kind of like 8, 9, 10, 11.
It's the road stuff. It's the problem. I think they're 13-2 at home, and they're like 6-8 on the road.
That is correct.
6-9.
I think technically it's 13-3, but that counts the Finland game.
Yeah.
So I hear you.
Yeah.
But this felt like an important. Let's continue to stack. We got a home run.
Sure.
Yeah. Let's continue to stack 2 points. 2 points. 2 points.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, you know, it caused me last night to kind of look at the standings because I wasn't really totally sure where Washington was.
Yeah.
They're awesome. All of a sudden, I was like, going, "Whoa! They're on the other side of the table, and they're playing pretty well." You know, so I that made me feel a lot better about the situation. Man, you're still behind. Like, where did Minnesota come from?
Okay, so I would make an argument Washington and Minnesota are the best two teams in the NHL right now. Something to watch.
Winnipeg getting it done?
I don't think so, because Winnipeg started out insane.
Like 15-0?
Yeah, look at their schedule since then. They're like 7-9-1.
Okay.
That team is primed.
They're Golden State of hockey.
They're primed to fall. Yeah. And so I think Minnesota is better than them. I think Washington is better than them. So I realize you still are quite a few points behind, but...
Yeah, I took a fluky goal that last night off the pad or the hand.
Yeah,
I mean,
Well, they've done it again, though. They've got another rookie star. It's unbelievable.
Bischel.
Yeah.
It's unreal how every year it's like, okay, here's Wyatt Johnston, here's Logan Stankoven, now here's Leon Bischel. I'm going to slide you into the top line with Miro Heiskanen.
Is Logan Stankoven still on the team?
Well, we do have, it'll be okay, Hagee.
Okay.
At the end of the season, this is all going to level out. Right now, the year-over-year goals are down. Maybe they're missing Joe Pavelski a little bit. Maybe we kind of undersold what Joe Pavelski meant a little bit at times. But they're going to be okay. Big picture, don't you worry.
And their defense can be on. I know it is not reflected maybe in the differential, but we've seen examples in games like last night where this defense can go to another level if they haven't been able to. You know, since they're running the bubble.
And it's been more than 3 weeks since Ottinger gave up more than 3 goals in a game.
Yeah.
So, amazing. Like, that's probably what you're going
to... Are we going to ever get mad at them for getting to the cup final and not winning? Is it like the opposite of what the Cowboys do?
Because they don't get close.
They don't get close, but we get really mad at the Cowboys. Are we going to get mad at the Stars for getting to the doorstep but not getting it home?
Because if you think about it, it's been 26 years, 26 seasons we're coming up on since they won the cup. Yeah. They've been back to the cup, including that next season.
We never get mad at them.
Multiple times. Does that just kind of tell you, like, I know hockey fans are as passionate as it gets.
Tells us we don't know the game.
Does that give you a reflection on, like, the makeup of the sports audience? Because, like, there's just not as many.
Yeah, you know, it's a cowboy town, and I think we only have so much sports frustration. But you go inside that AAC, and the folks that put Stars first, they know hockey.
They know hockey.
They're keeping this team accountable.
They are. But one thing I would like from a general hockey fan, this isn't pointed at anybody. I wish the general hockey fan sometimes was more welcoming.
They're not.
To the newcomer who wants to learn, but they don't know.
No, they don't. But that's okay. But they have a reason to be mad at us. Because we talk about it when they get in the playoffs. We don't talk about it. But you guys do a good job. I do. And I know we try and mention it and stuff. you do a good job of bringing it in to your show, which folks can kind of say, well, hey, if I want a little hockey talk, these guys do
I
it.
I got my KMC masterpiece.
Yeah.
And I got the hockey hawk.
Now, I want to talk about fighting as well. I'm not proud of saying this, but when you hear the rumor, or I guess Conor McGregor said it's not a rumor.
He gets beat everywhere, right?
And he lies, too. Mm. Conor McGregor.
Why don't you look at me and saying that?
I did, because I was just responding to you. That was not directly.
You looked right at me and said you lied, too.
That was not directly meant for you. Conor McGregor said he's going
to
fight.
You're not about to fight.
Logan Paul, I will lose.
No, I'd be more interested in watching that.
In India.
Me and Heggy going at it.
I hate to say this. I'm going to watch it. I don't care how bootleg it is. Are you with me, Wolchuk? You're going to watch this fight, right?
It annoys me. I really, hearing this, I was like, why? What are we doing? This is so dumb. Will I watch it? Yes. And that's probably why they're still going to do it. But I really do not care what happens in this fight.
Will there be streaming issues? Because I can't watch it if that
I think this is going to be a big failure compared to what they're going to project. I think they think this is going to pull a ton of money. I don't think it's going to pull nearly as much. I think Conor's shine has worn off. Now you have what's happened with his legal troubles. That's off-put a ton of people. He's lost his charm. And honestly, when it comes to boxing, Jake is just so much of a bigger draw than Logan. Logan's not that good. That Floyd Mayweather fight was just disgusting. I mean, Jake, okay, you can argue how good he is, but Logan really is not a good boxer.
How many 8 years, how many fights, boxing, MMA, whatever, do you think Conor McGregor's won in the last 8 years?
One.
Yeah, Donald Cerrone.
That is correct.
And I don't know anything about MMA. Oh, yeah.
Now, I know people are like, hey, has it been fighting? Well, he got embarrassed against Khabib. He got against Poirier.
Yeah.
And so, like, I get it. He's got the personality for days, but he can't fight anymore.
No, I'm right with Wolchuk. I just think there's not enough sizzle on this. Maybe, you know, Jake Paul could bring some of that. Mayweather, Tyson. You know, you talk about legends or guys that are close to the top, but, you know, McGregor's just washed.
Agreed. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Top stories of the day, reaction to things Jerry had to say this morning coming right out of the gates. And at 4:40, we'll talk with our Odyssey NFL insider, Mark Schlereth.
Ooh, I like it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here. On 105.3 The Fan.
Say Rizzly Bear, Kevin.
I will not.